when you're doing something that God hasn't gifted you, and God hasn't purposed you, and God hasn't called you to do, it becomes an aggravation. You know, like you're going nowhere. Like the two guys that were working down the highway, and one man stood there and he watched these two guys working down the highway. One would dig the hole, and the other one would come behind and put the dirt in the hole. One would dig the hole, and the other one would come by and put the dirt in the hole. And this guy watched them for about 15 minutes, and finally he said, "Man, you guys are just wasting the county's money. You know, how is it that one of you dig a hole and the other one puts the dirt in?" And the guy said, "Well, you know, normally there's three of us. There's me, Rodney, and Pete." He said, "I dig the hole, Rodney puts the tree in the hole, and Pete puts the dirt back in the hole. Just because Rodney is sick and didn't come to work today, that don't mean we're going to stop working." You see, when you are not working according to God's purpose for your life, it's like you're digging a hole and putting the dirt back in.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of part one of Looking for a Reason to Fight. So let's rejoin Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of part one of Looking for a Reason to Fight.
He lived in Chicago. He was heir to the board in the state, which was made him a millionaire just by being in the family that he was in. And as he graduated from high school, his parents, he was a good Christian man, his parents gave him a graduation present, a trip around the world. And as he went around the world, he saw Europe and he saw the Middle East and he saw Asia and China. And his heart just became burdened, and he wanted to go into missions. And so he gave everything up, and in the back of his Bible, he wrote down, "No reserves, no reserves." He went to, I believe it was Yale or Princeton, got on fire for God, started Bible studies, prayer groups. Man, just saw people come to the Lord left and right on that college campus. And then he got a burden for Muslims in China. And that was his calling, to go minister to Muslims in China. And then when he graduated, he got all kind of job offers. Number one, not only because of who he was as far as his family, but because of who he was as far as his character and what he was able to do. Got all kind of job offers. Turned them all down because he wanted to be a missionary. Underneath "no reserves," he wrote, "no return." On his way to China to minister to Muslims, he stopped in Egypt to learn Arabic so he could minister to them. And as he studied Arabic in Egypt, he was there for a couple of months, and he contracted spinal meningitis and died. And somebody thought, man, what a waste of a life. Here he was, a millionaire. Here he was, one of the greatest minds in society. And yet and still, he let it all go to go to minister as a missionary, and he ended up catching the disease and dying. Well, when they got his, shipped his stuff home, somebody found his Bible, and under the words "no reserves" and "no returns," he wrote, "No regrets." No regrets. He came to his deathbed. He came to the end, knowing that he had a cause that he was going to fight for, and he fought for that cause right up to the end. How about you, my brothers and sisters? Have you picked up a cause? What is your cause? If I came to you and sat you down and talked to you one-on-one and asked you, what is your cause? What is your purpose? Why does God have you here? What could you say? What is your cause? You see, God has designed his people for a purpose. In the Living Bible, Psalm 139 and verse 16 says this: "You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book." God has a destiny for you. God has a purpose for you. Look what he told Jeremiah. He said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God has a purpose for your life. Paul uses the term predestined. I know there's a lot of debate and a lot of argument that we can get in over predestination, but let me say this about predestined. Predestined means that God has something for you. Comes from the word pre, which means before, and destiny or destined in. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Predestined, before and in. God knew your ending before you were even born. God wrote it out for you. And God created you with a purpose in mind. You know, there's a show, and many of you have probably seen this show before. It's called American Inventors. Now, nobody comes on American Inventors and says, I invented this thing. It's called a thingamajig. Well, what does it do? Well, I don't know what it does. It's just a thingamajig. Everybody that comes on there invents something, and there's a purpose for the invention. God created you with his hands. God created you for a specific reason, for a specific purpose. And you need to realize that God has something for you to do. And you need to ask yourself the question, what do I do? That nobody can do what I do, like I do what I do, when I do what I do. God created you to do something unique. God created you specifically for a purpose, and there's something that you are supposed to be doing like nobody else can do it. Nobody. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, other people might be more knowledgeable than you. They might have more money than you. They might have more influence in society than you have. They might have more power. They might have more this, more that. But you know what? If God created you uniquely for a purpose, nobody can do what you do when you do what you do like you do. Nobody can do it. And Solomon says that whatever thy hand finds to do, do it with all thy might, because where you are going when you get to the grave, that's it. You can't do anything else. Let me move on to my first point in my message this morning. My first point, the benefits of having a cause. So we'll stop with this one right here. I'll give you a, we don't want to load. I know this is Communion Sunday. We don't want to load in my first Sunday back. I got a lot of preaching up in me now. You know, I preached while I was in Africa, but you know, I've been back for a couple weeks and I haven't preached since so I got a lot of preaching. I got to get it out. All right. The benefits of having a cause to fight for. The first thing, that if you have a cause to fight for, it will decrease your aggravation. The second thing, it will increase your inspiration. And the third thing, it will sharpen your concentration. The first thing, if you got a cause to fight for, it will decrease your aggravation. Having a cause to fight for will eliminate the frustration of meaningless work. You know, you can live your life in frustration doing what somebody else wants you to do. But when you got a purpose and you got a cause and you know what it is that God wants you to do, then you need to be about that business. Man was going down the street and he was pulling a donkey and there was a little boy behind it. And somebody looked at the man and said, man, you're stupid. Why don't you ride the donkey? So the man got on the donkey, and he began to ride the donkey. As they walked down to the next village, the man was riding the donkey. The little boy was behind. And somebody said, man, how can you be on that donkey riding and let the little boy walk? So the man got off the donkey and put the little boy on the donkey. They went into the next village, and somebody said, man, that's got to be the laziest boy in the world. How can he ride while you walk? So the man got on the donkey, the little boy on the donkey. As they went to the next village, Somebody said, I'm going to report you for cruelty to animals. How can both of you guys ride that donkey? So the story ends that the man is walking down the street carrying the donkey. See, if you try to do what people want you to do, you're going to get frustrated. You're going to get aggravated. You're going to lose your mind. You're going to end up carrying, you're going to carry burdens that God never meant for you to carry. You're going to carry donkeys around in your life that God didn't mean for you to carry. But when you find out what God wants you to do and you're about his business, it will decrease a lot of aggravation in your life. See, when you know what you're about and you know what your purpose is, when people start to approach you with things and ask you things, you know, you can kindly, you know, say to them that, you know, that's not where I'm at right now. That's not where God has me right now. This is what God has designed me for. This is what God has gifted me for. You know, if you don't do that, man, you will end up doing things that will cause you to be absolutely frustrated. And it'll seem like you're going nowhere in life. You know, every time that I sit down on a Wednesday or Thursday as I begin preparation for Sunday, man, I feel like, man, God, thank you. I'm in the air. Man, I feel, oh, Lord, I love studying your word, Lord. I love being able to share your word. Oh, God, I love just being able to eat up your, oh, God. And it's such a joy. But when you're doing something that God hasn't gifted you and God hasn't purposed you and God hasn't called you to do, it becomes an aggravation. You know, like you're going nowhere. Like the two guys that were working down the highway, and one man stood there and he watched these two guys working down the highway. One would dig the hole and the other one would come behind and put the dirt in the hole. One would dig the hole and the other one would come by and put the dirt in the hole. And this guy watched them for about 15 minutes. And finally, he said, man, you guys are just wasting the county's money. You know, how is it that one of you dig a hole and the other one puts the dirt in? And the guy said, well, you know, normally there's three of us. There's me, Rodney, and Pete. He said, I dig the hole, Rodney puts the tree in the hole, and Pete puts the dirt back in the hole. Just because Rodney is sick and didn't come to work today, that don't mean we're going to stop working. You see, when you are not working according to God's purpose for your life, it's like you're digging a hole and putting the dirt back in. Digging a hole and putting the dirt back in. But when you find out what God wants you to do, it will decrease a lot of aggravation in your life. And not only that, but it will increase inspiration. Having a cause to fight for will bring some excitement and motivation to your life. I hear a lot of people, well, I'm bored. I don't have anything to do. Man, you know, I wish I had time to be bored. I wish I just had time to sit and be bored. Man, God has filled my life with so much purpose and direction that I don't have time to be bored. And see, if you're bored, the chances are, if you are bored, the chances are that you don't have anything to fight for. There's nothing that you're fighting for. Because if you got something to fight for, you're not going to be bored. Life is not going to be, you know, you haven't begun to live until you got something to fight for. Let me say it again. You haven't begun to live until you got something to fight for. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. Man, pick up a cause. David said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? If nothing else, God is calling me to pray for all the evils in our society today. See, you know, you got to find something to fight for. Get excited. See, a lot of folk, they're not even excited about their marriage anymore. You know, they're not excited for it. They're not excited about it. Man, I didn't try, you know. You know, man, I'm giving up on that, you know. But, you know, when you get a cause and you get something to fight for, you know, and you realize that the devil is in the business of, you know, destroying relationships, then you got something to fight for. When you see all the evil that's going on, I came back from Africa and all I heard, did you hear about all the killings in the community? I said, no, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't hear anything about it. Man, there's a cause. There's a cause out here to fight for. Oh, let me say it again. Let me say it again, because it's on my heart, it's in my spirit, and I'm going to say it again. I don't care who gets mad at me, but I'm going to say it again. Some of you young ladies need to get with some of these young girls and talk to them and work with them. There's a cause. Even though you might have done some things that wasn't pleasing to God, God is in the forgiving business. God is in the restoration business. And God is the God of a second chance. And why waste your time? Why continue to go down a road that God doesn't want you to go? Why don't you come on and get with God's people? Why don't you come on and invest, pour your life into some young lady? Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason? Find something to fight for. You know, when you stand before the Lord, he's not going to ask you how many movies you watched where people were shaking it and jiving it. He's not going to ask you how many clubs you went to. He's not going to ask you how many parties that you went to. He's going to ask you, what did you do for me? Only one life, and it'll soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Find a cause. When you find a cause, you'll get excited about life. The benefits of having a cause, it will decrease your aggravation. It will increase your inspiration. And I'm going to close with this. It'll sharpen your concentration when you got a cause. Having a cause to fight for will allow the child of God to stay focused and not get distracted. When you got a cause to fight for. As I close, look at Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. Beginning in verse 1. And we know that Nehemiah was in Persia, and God called him to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. And he traveled back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. And chapter 6 and verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left in it, though at that time I had not set upon the doors upon the gates." Verse 2, "Then Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times in this way, and I answered them after the same manner." He was up on the wall. He was working for God. He had a purpose. He had something to fight for. He was doing the will of God. He was doing the work of God. He was doing the plan of God. And here come the enemies trying to get him to cease working on the wall. Come on down off that wall. Come on and meet us in the plain of Ono. See, now that should have told you something right there. Oh, no. You know, how come I can't meet you in the plain of hope or joy or rejoicing? Why I got to meet you in the plain of Ono? That's a bad sign right there. Nehemiah said, "No, I'm not coming down." He said, "I'm doing a work for God." When you got purpose, when you got direction, when you got focus, you stay on the wall because you're doing a work for God. And you notice what he said there? They came under me four times trying to talk me down off the wall, trying to get me off the wall. And I answered them the same way each time. I'm doing a work for God and I'm not going to come down. I'm not coming. See, he had spent some time with God. He had got God's plan. He got God's vision. He got God's purpose. And nothing was going to distract him from what it was that he's supposed to do. You see, some young people in college, God has called you to get your education. And God is saying, look, stay focused on why you're here. Yeah, it's nice to be able to socialize and have a social life, but stay focused while you're here. Don't be distracted to the left or to the right. And when somebody tries to get you to do something that's going to mess you up and get you out of college, say, I'm doing a good work for the Lord, and I'm not coming down off the wall. Oh, God, give us some young people who will remain faithful to the convictions that their parents have tried to instill in them. Try to let them know that there is a purpose in life, there is a meaningful life, that you are not a piece of junk. You are not someone to be abused and misused, but you have value in the sight of God. And don't let anybody take you off of the... Don't let anybody talk you off of the course that you are on. God has, he said in Jeremiah chapter 29, he says, I have an expected end to bring you to an expected end, to prosper you and to give you health and life. Just stay the course. Stay the course. But my brothers and sisters, first of all, you got to have something to fight for. I told you what my vision is. I'm fighting against biblical illiteracy. That's my vision. That's my purpose. That's why I go on the radio. That's why I preach and here on Sunday morning, teach on Wednesday night, do the Bible Institute. And when the Lord gives me opportunity to go share the word with somebody, I love to do it because that's my call. Now, if somebody wants me to come and speak on the virtues of putting cherries in the middle of a cherry pie, and you know, they need somebody else for that. You know, that's not my thing. You know, I know why God has called me. I know what my purpose is. I know what my focus is. And I'm going to fight for that. I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to fight for it. I'm going to fight for it. I don't always do what I'm supposed to do. I don't always live up to the word like I should. But you know what? I'm not going to stop fighting because I know what I'm supposed to do. See, it's just like a man that's going through a snowstorm with a compass. You know, you might not be able to see anything, but you know what? If you just hold the compass and you keep the course of what the compass is saying, you eventually going to get to where you need to go. You might not see all that you need to see right now, but just stay the course. Stay the course. God will work it out for you. God will plan this thing out for you. Man, I want to see some champions. Man, I want to see some champion young people here at Bethany Baptist Church. Man, I want to see some young people that just love the Lord and that are doing the right thing. Oh, I'm not saying that you got to go carry your Bible and that's weighing you down like this and open it up and witness to all the people. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying live a life that honors God. Live a life that's pleasing to God. Try to help some folk out in life. Try to pour your life into somebody else's life. Because God will bless you for that. See, sometimes if you get busy about pouring your life into somebody else's life, then you'll forget about your problems. You'll forget about some of the stuff that you got to do because there's some release. And the Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if you're planting, pouring into the lives of others, building other people up, building the work of God, building the kingdom of God, you found a purpose. You got something to fight for. Man, the only thing that some folk are fighting for is a seat when they come into the sanctuary. Or a good spot in the parking lot. Or fighting to get in the line at the Golden Corral. find a purpose. Paul said, fight the good fight. And you know, in that, once again, let me close with this. The word fight actually comes from the Greek word agona. In certain places, it's translated agonizomai. That's where we get the word agony from. You know, I think of the song, Trouble in My Way. I got to cry sometime. Trouble in my way. I got to cry sometime. I can't sleep at night. Hey, but that's all right. Jesus, he'll fix it. Sometimes you got to agonize. Sometimes you got to go through some difficult situations. You got to agonize. But you know what that agony is? Fighting. I'm fighting. I haven't lost my fight. Oh, my legs are hurt, but I haven't lost my fight. My back, I haven't lost my fight. My enemies all around, I haven't lost my fight. Friends forsaken me, I haven't lost my fight. Yes. Find something to fight for and keep on fighting.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Join us next time for the first half of Looking for a Reason to Fight, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, Looking for a Reason to Fight, Part 1, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Part 1 of Looking for a Reason to Fight, or program number 060903. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request Part 1 of Looking for a Reason to Fight, or program number 060903. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, PA 15208.